From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Talk of Iowa. I'm John Pemble.
And I'm Catherine Perkins. Today, we're taking you to the Iowa State Fair, which began last Thursday on one of the hottest days of the summer. Attendance has been down over the first few days, not terribly surprising, given the sweltering weather. We'll hear how parents brave enough to face the heat and humidity are keeping their kids cool.
Most adults take a break from the heat in one of the fair's air-conditioned buildings, including the new 110,000-square-foot Richard O. Jacobson Exhibition Center. Jacobson will tell us why he funded the largest enclosed facility on the fairgrounds.
The traditional butter cow sculpture underwent a Seussification of sorts this year. Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham marked its 50th anniversary during the run of the fair. We'll listen to Iowans read from the classic as they're standing in line to see the butter sculpture.
We'll also go to the poultry building and bathe the chicken.
That's coming up next on Talk of Iowa from the Iowa State Fair. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Catherine Perkins at the Iowa State Fair with John Pemble, where it's been hot, really hot. Not just summer in Iowa hot. We're talking heat index of 110 degrees, sweat dripping off your nose, almost can't bear it kind of hot. Not the kind of weather that makes fairgoers like Jan Barton of Altoona very happy.
I think it stinks. But it's the fair, and it's August in Iowa, so, and we have a little granddaughter that's going to dance at the fair this afternoon, so no matter what, we decided to come out. We got to support her.
So Jan brought 5-year-old Macy and 7-year-old Cole up to Pella Plaza to cool off in the fountains. Tina and Keith DeWitt of Waukee were watching their 3-year-old girls splash in the water.
We came to the twins contest. We're about ready to leave, and so we thought we'd let them run through the water a little bit.
They seem to be enjoying that.
Yes, they are.
But many fairgoers aren't heading home. They're here for the long haul, staying in the campgrounds for the run of the fair. Dina Freese of Emmitsburg is camping with her family.
Last night we slept in our camper without AC, and my children were so hot that they ended up sleeping in just their underwear because they were so hot. There was nothing we could do, and it's definitely extreme.
Dave and Angie Lindley of Waverly were expecting to have a hard time dragging their two boys away from the water.
My name is Benjamin.
Oh, and what are you doing to stay cool today?
Playing in the fountain.
And Benjamin told me Pella Plaza's fountain is the best place at the fair. But I think John from Grimes might have the right idea for staying cool.
Trying to stay in the varied industries building.
Air-conditioned buildings may be the next best thing to playing in the fountains at the Iowa State Fair. And this year there's even more air-conditioned comfort, 110,000 square feet in the newly dedicated Richard O. Jacobson Exhibition Center at the fairgrounds. It's Richard Jacobson's most recent philanthropic effort. He also has funded 3 buildings at Iowa's 3 state universities. Jacobson is the chairman of Jacobson Companies, founded in Des Moines in the late 1960s. He no longer lives in Iowa, but returned recently for the Exhibition Center's opening and sat down with John Pemble to talk about why he continues to contribute to his home state.
The state of Iowa has been very good to me, and I try to do is be as good as I can to the state of Iowa. And most of the things I do have to do with young people. As to the fair is the largest statewide event. It's bigger than collegiate football, Iowa State, you and I all put together. And I have buildings at all 3 of those places named after me. But I like athletics too. But the state fair is something that practically anybody that wants to come to it can come to it, and they can afford it.
Do you struggle sometimes with some of the decisions as to what you will fund or not fund?
Oh, great deal.
What's the hardest part about that for you?
Well, first of all, probably you got to figure out if they're legitimate. And once you realize that they are legitimate, then you have to figure out they're going to do some good for a lot of people. Like I don't ever fund anything that's going to be good for a handful of people. That would not be anything I'd be interested in. Is it going to be good for hundreds, thousands? Yes, possibly. If something could be for millions, that would really get my attention. I don't have a book that says, on page, go to page 19 for a certain type of gift. Go to page 28 for another kind. It's just my heart. I have no family, and obviously I've made a few dollars, and I've tried to give them away to good organizations, yeah. There's no problem finding people to give it away to. Good ones are very difficult.
Do you feel that making a connection with your community kind of helps give people the incentive to give other people a break?
Absolutely.
Are the new young professionals out there, are they going to be able to do the same things you are when they retire? Do you think they have the same kind of value?
Oh, absolutely.
What drives people to do that, or what drove you to do that?
Well, I needed a job, and I wanted to make some money. So that probably is what's going to drive anybody. But are there things to be discovered? Absolutely. We've just scratched the surface, and what's going to happen in the next 20 years, 40 years? 40 years from now, I hope I can answer that question for you. I hope I can in 20 years. But I think you're going to see the growth of fabulous ideas accelerate. Because people are more intelligent today than they were 20, 40, 60, 80 years ago.
One of the things I noticed immediately that a lot of your friends come out of the woodwork, you know, that are working, and they just want a minute to say, hey, is it nice coming home and seeing all your old, like right here?
Speed, Harry.
Can I interrupt a second?
Please.
Do you know Dick Query?
Yeah, is he out of jail?
Yeah, he just let him out of jail. I'm his brother Lloyd, remember?
I know who you are. Sit down. I know who you are.
Well, you're busy.
No.
Huh?
You're from down here, Southern Iowa.
Yeah, I was. I live out west Des Moines now. You and I were supposed to join up down to the Hall of Fame and have a beer. We never did.
You never did it. Well, I don't live here anymore. But
I know. You don't have a place downtown anymore?
No. Well, I have a condo. I'd like to sell it. You want to live down there?
Sure I do. Give me the keys. I got married when I was sitting. Dick was there. Thanks.
When you were talking...
Are we still going on this?
Just a little bit. Just a couple more, then I'll be done with you. Or you'll be done with
you'll
me.
You'll be done with me when I'm ready. Oh, it's beer time.
Do you want one?
Yeah. You guys want a beer?
Sure.
I got a couple of them.
I just
know what a footer is?
I have about 1,500 people that read my posts.
I'm anxious I can take him somewhere.
That's Richard Jacobson, just after the Richard O. Jacobson Exhibition Center's grand opening on the first day of the fair. As we drank our beer, Jacobson asked me how Twitter worked, so I took out my BlackBerry and I showed him how I tweeted about our interview. He then showed me his iPhone and some of his favorite apps, like the one that tracks baseball stats and scores. Jacobson told me he loves baseball and often takes public transportation to see the Padres during the months he lives in San Diego, California. Jacobson also has a home in Florida. He says he goes wherever the humidity isn't, but that he's always glad to come back home to Iowa to visit and, in this case, open a new building bearing his name, even on one of the hottest and most humid days of the year. The state fairgrounds have buildings dedicated to animals and exhibitors, but none have as much visible attention as the roller coasters and games located in the spectacle that is the Midway.
Oh, guys. Well, I can't say you're throwing like a girl because I'd get in trouble for that.
Baseballs are being thrown at a wall of bottles. When the ball misses the bottles, it makes a loud sound as it smacks against a thin sheet of metal.
Now you didn't have to hit me with it.
The Midway is filled with these kinds of attractions that some may think are fixed, and they're kind of right. They are fixed, so they can be winnable. Iowa's Department of Inspections and Appeals visit the Midway every year to make sure the games are winnable as well as being safe. Iowa Public Radio's Roland Maldonado is on the Midway with the state inspectors to see if these games are in compliance with the department's regulations.
Now come on, hit it, don't miss it. Come on.
Between the Midway rides and funnel cakes stands a woman named Angel. She runs the ball toss game. She's been operating the game for 6 years now and enjoys taunting the customers. For $5, patrons stand behind a line and throw baseballs at a wall of bottles. If they hit with all three, they take home an oversized stuffed animal.
You can see, like this one, the baseball is starting to get ragged. And so what we recommend is that when it starts getting that way, to replace it with a different ball.
That's Bev Zylstra. She's the lead inspector with the state's Department of Inspection and Appeals. She's heading the annual check of all the games at the fair. She's been doing this for 5 years now and knows her job well. Zylstra goes down a long list of items ensuring that every game is in compliance with the department's regulations for games of chance.
I'm looking for rules as to minor my rules, my license, my everything.
Perfect, thank you.
The wacky wire is right next to the ball toss. Tawny operates a new game, and she's showing the inspectors how it works. But they're not having an easy time with it.
I think he's got it. So this game feels... That's tough once you get
that's
here,
impressive.
Isn't it?
Iowa law does not require that people win each game, just that they could. They also make sure that the game rules are clearly posted along with the operator's licenses. Nick Viscomi is the concession manager for Bell City Amusement, the company that manages the Midway. He says there are between 50 to 60 concession games at the fair. Viscomi says all the games are given approval prior to the inspection, but inspectors take a closer look once they're up and running.
The signs that are in the game need to be in the game at all times. All the games will be approved today before the inspection's done. If they do want changes, we'll change them immediately, and we don't allow anyone to change anything once they've been approved.
Patrick Townsend is a special agent with the DIA. He says inspectors will make return trips to the Midway throughout the fair.
Tomorrow, 3 days from now, at some point in time, we're going to come back out and make sure that none of the games or what they say for the prices and everything else still fall within the range of what they're supposed to.
Townsend says in his time as an inspector, only one situation came up where the signs were changed. The inspectors told Viscomi, and he took care of it.
When that had happened, he had sent those people home immediately after they had changed their rules to the game.
The Department of Inspections can also confiscate a vendor's license from the fair. Dan Horner is training to be an inspector. He's learning the ropes from lead inspector Bev Zylstra by checking licenses and testing components. Horner sums up the day's activities.
It's just a fun field trip. Chance to get away from the office.
The group finally comes to the machine gun shootout. It's an air gun that fires 100 shots for a mere $3. To win, you have to shoot out the center star on a paper target 5 feet away. Inspectors quickly pick up their air guns and fire.
Roland Maldonado on the Midway with Department of Inspections and Appeals, making sure the vendors keep the rides and the games safe and fair. Well, the state fair is known for its food, livestock, and the rides, but it's also developed a reputation as a place to showcase the arts. In a minute, a visit to the Cultural Center. Then we'll talk with a woodturner as he creates a work of art on his lathe. And later, we'll hear from the first ever 4-H Film Festival. I'm John Pemble with Catherine Perkins, and you're listening to Talk of Iowa from the Iowa State Fair. From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Talk of Iowa. I'm John Pemble with Catherine Perkins, and we're at the Iowa State Fair. Near the top of the state fairgrounds is the two-story cultural center. It houses paintings, sculptures, small handmade works of art, and most notably a large photo gallery. There are 878 photographs on display. Charlie Starnes is the photography salon superintendent. Starnes grew up in Tennessee but moved to Iowa 25 years ago. This year, 4,800 pictures were submitted to the state fair, and Starnes says this makes the exhibit one of the toughest competitive events at the Iowa State Fair.
I'd say probably less than 5% of our photographers that enter are professionals. Most of these are advanced amateurs or love taking photos for hobbies. There's a wide range and wide scale.
I'm sure you've kind of gotten photoed out with 5,000 photos recently, and maybe every day your eye changes, but is there something today that's getting your eye that you kind of fondly look at?
This photo here is one I've been using all day, is the lighting. It's a young man here, natural light, natural window light coming through. Looks like he's doing some kind of yarn, doing some kind of activity, and so it's a natural, subtle, natural light, as opposed to somebody using a flash and blowing the whole image out. So it's more natural.
It seems like a lot of the macro photography pieces are here, which are always favored with frost, and a lot of sunsets, you know, the usual pictorial cliches. But then there are these things that just seem amazingly candid and well-composed. And right here, for example, just an alleyway with a person standing in an umbrella.
Yeah, and the umbrellas and the lights, even the light and the setting, the mood. As I keep telling everybody during the, at least in this exhibit, and the competition up here is about the art of photography and showing us the world as we've never seen it before and capturing that moment, telling a story. Those are some of the critical things we look for, composition and lighting and so some of those things.
You know, the more you know about a photo sometimes, the harder it is to enjoy it because there's usually a sense of mystery. Where is this house? Who is this person? What are they thinking? And you see that with most of the pictures.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's and that's what you want to do is tell a story or try to tell a story, evoke an emotional response from your viewer, your audience, and get them to either reflect back upon maybe a time in their life or, you know, get them to think about, you know, something in the future maybe even that they may want to do.
So this is in a building that houses a lot of different kinds of art. Photography is where we're at now, but moving onward, we go into other mediums.
Yes, this is one of the things that I think makes the Iowa State Fair so unique is the fact that we have a cultural center on the fairgrounds, one building dedicated to the arts and culture. Inside this building, not only do we have photography, we also have fine arts, we have creative arts upstairs, we have ladies out here and gentlemen in the middle, we have that are doing all different types of arts. We have china painting, oil painting. We have a lady and a man and a woman upstairs that are doing, they do barbed wire art. They make art out of barbed wire.
Seems that we all try to find things we recognize in art. And in photography, we can all recognize it because everyone has taken a picture. Everyone's had a picture that they like. And as we move deeper into this area, we see things that remind us of our past. What things in your life do you get reminders of as you go deeper beyond photography?
Well, I think, as soon as you said that, first thing popped in my mind was that barbed wire art upstairs. You know, working on a farm as a kid. And who would have thought, I mean, I got cut on a barbed wire fence. I can't tell you how many times, who would ever thought that somebody could take old pieces of barbed wire and make art out of it? The stuff upstairs is incredible.
Charlie Starnes, photography salon superintendent at the Cultural Center. Just down the hill from the Cultural Center is the Hy-Vee Fun Forest, where art under the tent demonstrators lure fairgoers to witness art in progress. Jimmy Lewis is a woodturner. His table is filled with bowls, latticework Christmas ornaments, and decorative boxes. Although all of these pieces are made from wood, they gleam like marble.
I'm Jimmy Lewis, and I'm from Rose Hill, Iowa. I am making a little wooden box, a little ornamental box on the wood lathe. This is wood turning, and what the wood lathe does, it spins the wood around. Most of the tools in the shop, you feed the wood through the cutter, and on the wood lathe, you're actually feeding the cutter through the wood. I've been doing this for about 5 years. I had a massive heart attack, and I am physically disabled. I'm legally disabled now, and this has been my my rehabilitation stay. Give me a reason to get up and go in the mornings. I started out trying to make furniture, and I went to make a leg for a chair or table. I don't remember what it was. I got playing on the wood lathe, and I threw my tape measure, my rulers, and my squares all away, and now I pretty much exclusively work on the wood lathe. The most important skill about being successful on the wood lathe is to get the tool sharp. The technique and everything else, most everybody can put a chisel up against the wood and make it work. But the main thing is to be able to get them sharp. This is a black and white ebony. It's kind of an expensive wood, but it's just super great to work with. It just cuts like butter.
That's one thing about the wood lathe.
you can go out in your backyard. You can take a limb off the tree. You can pick a stick from out of the street, up off the street, take it in, put it on the wood lathe, and play with it. And you don't have to invest a whole lot of money in the materials. You make a mistake, well, it can go in the firewood. You're not out anything. Your tools last forever. Your lathe lasts a long time. The material does not have to be expensive. I hope that people learn to use their imagination a little bit. I hope that they go home and are willing to at least try, if not work on the wood lathe, the table saws. But just to explore themselves, to be interested in the arts, not be afraid to try something new.
Jimmy Lewis, a woodturner, creating another piece of art in the Art Under the Tent demonstration. This is Talk of Iowa at the Iowa State Fair. The inaugural 4-H Film Festival is part of the State Fair this year. 8 films produced by 4-H youth were chosen for the festival. Since the 19th century, 4-H has focused on rural life opportunities, and Iowa State University Extension's 4-H Youth Campus Director, Holly Bignall, says the latest technology has always been part of 4-H's programming.
It does definitely have a history in agriculture because, of course, that's one of the technologies that has been really important to the land-grant universities. But, of course, land-grant universities have been important in developing all sorts of technologies, and 4-H is attempting to take that out to the youth. This is our first getting our feet wet, and we had some really great entries that were a lot of fun to watch, and we got to see a lot of very young. We saw everything from seniors in high school to 10-year-olds put forth films, and I'm really excited to see how those younger kids develop.
You know, when I arrived here and I saw the State Fair Queen, I thought, well, she's just coming here to visit. And it turns out that she was a person who entered a film, a relatively well-done film that had a lot of scene changes, a lot of edits, and a pretty okay storyline for someone who's not involved in that.
Yeah, and that's always the fun part about an event like this, is that it's something that anybody can enter and get a chance to excel at. So it was fun to see the recognition of the, you know, 12-year-old boy and the State Fair Queen on the same stage. That was a lot of fun. And I think it also just shows that how diverse people's interests are. You know, she was the producer of the film that that was Callie Ansh. It was the name of the production company that they created for this event. And so she was the producer in that. And so you might not think of her as being involved in technology, but actually she has both some skills and some interests in technology. And I think those will grow in the future as she goes off to college. And I think she could be a great role model for other kids interested in technology and that maybe wouldn't have thought of technology as something that would be cool to do or neat for them. I think hopefully that this is a way that they can see how neat it can be and how fun it can be.
Holly Bignall, organizer of the 4-H Film Festival. Sioux City has a rockestra, an orchestra that accompanies a rock band. And in a minute, Catherine Perkins will take you to their state fair show. Then we'll hear Iowans read Green Eggs and Ham while standing in line to see the butter sculpture inspired by the 50-year-old book. And later, we're going to the poultry building to give a chicken a bath. I'm John Pemble with Catherine Perkins, and this is Talk of Iowa from the Iowa State Fair.
This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Catherine Perkins with John Pemble at the Iowa State Fair, where there's plenty of entertainment. With 5 free stages on the fairgrounds, music is playing in the background or foreground almost constantly. The Sioux City Rockestra is included in this year's lineup. It claims to be the only professional rock and roll orchestra in the country. I talked with music director John Lubke while the rockestra players were warming up and the audience was assembling on the bleachers for a show.
Most of them are very surprised, because when they think of an orchestra and rock and roll, most people think that they're going to go see a symphony orchestra doing pops. And this is not a symphony orchestra doing pops. This is very much a rock band with strings and brass and a whole contingent of woodwinds. And it's sort of a blank to the wall. I can't say that on public radio, can I?
Lubke is classically trained, received master's and doctorate degrees in arranging and composition and music theory from the University of Miami, and came to Sioux City as the executive director of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. But it was a rock concert that inspired him.
It got started over 6 years ago when I was watching a DVD of the British rock group Yes, and they were performing with a symphony orchestra, and I just got this idea. I said, let's see if we can do this here in Sioux City. And so I called up a whole bunch of people, and everybody got very excited about it. We did a concert, and now we're entering our seventh season.
The players range in age from 15 to 63 and are all from the Siouxland area. The music is classic rock, from the mid-60s to the mid-80s. Songs like Still of the Night by Whitesnake, Jump by Van Halen, and, of course, We Built This City by Starship. Jackie Schmellen is a personality on KPTH-TV in Sioux City and has been one of Rockester's vocalists for the past 4 years. She says the group only does a few shows a year.
We all have other full-time jobs, so it's hard to bring almost 40 people together to do this.
But the Iowa State Fair is one of their favorites.
Oh my gosh, playing the Iowa State Fair is one of the things we look forward to most because the crowds are amazing. We have a following in Sioux City, so it's great to come out to Des Moines where people don't necessarily know who we are and see how they react to us and how they get into the music. It helps us learn, helps us grow, and it's a blast to come to the Iowa State Fair, so we're very honored to be here.
Schmellen does a rousing Madonna number, complete with background dancers. Lubke says he still enjoys jazz and classical music, but he's found his niche.
American classic rock and roll has just become my passion. I think it's just a wonderful form of entertainment, and I just love to be a part of it.
Rockestra, part of the 2010 Iowa State Fair. Their next performance is in September on the main stage at the Sioux City Art Center's Art Splash.
That Sam I Am. I do not like That Sam I Am.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
I do not like them, Sam I Am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
I persuaded Iowa State fairgoers to read Green Eggs and Ham aloud while waiting in line to see the Dr. Seuss classic immortalized in butter. Sarah Pratt is the fair's butter sculptress, and I talked with her outside the butter coolers where she works her magic each year. Pratt says when she found out Green Eggs and Ham would be marking its 50th anniversary during the run of the fair, she decided the occasion called for a Seussification of the traditional butter cow display.
In the far window behind the cow is the house with a mouse sitting on a little stool and a tree with a box hanging from it, and inside is the fox. And then as you come in front of the cow, you'll see a tree that's been bent down to the ground because the car has driven right up on top, and it has Sam I Am shoving a plate of green eggs and ham right up in the face of the, we call him the big guy, the guy with no name that doesn't want to eat the green eggs and ham. And he has an angry face look on his face. And we've colored the butter green this year to make the green eggs and ham.
Pratt says the sculpture, including the Jersey cow, took 1,000 pounds of butter and some engineering expertise.
There was a lot of structural things to put into place to support that tree and the car, and so it'd all stay in place and wouldn't tip during the fair. So there was a lot of work put into it. My brother John Doyle did a lot of the structural planning. He's a mechanical engineer, so he came in real handy this year.
Pratt says she'd been thinking about Dr. Seuss for a while, ever since a friend's daughter suggested that something from Seuss needed to go in the cooler. Pratt has fond memories of reading Dr. Seuss books as both a child and an adult.
We had stories read to us every night as kids, and Dr. Seuss was one of the favorites, and I read it to my kids, and I'm a teacher, so I read a lot of Dr. Seuss in my classroom, too. They're just fun to read, and they're fun to laugh about, and the rhymes are fun and silly, so they're really fun.
Next year will be the centennial anniversary of the butter cow at the Iowa State Fair, so Pratt is already planning her display for 2011. Fairgoers can see the green eggs and ham butter sculpture in the Agriculture Building's dairy coolers through Sunday.
Not in a train, not in a tree, not in a car. Sam, let me be. I would not, could not in a box. I could not, would not with a fox. I will not eat them with a mouse. I will not eat them in a house. I will not eat them here or there. I will not eat them anywhere. I do not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I Am.
Say, in the dark? Here in the dark? Would you, could you, in the dark? I would not, could not, in the dark.
Would you, could you, in the rain? I would not, could not, in the rain, not in the dark, not on a train, not in a car, not in a tree. I do not like them, Sam, you see, not in a house, not in a box, not with a mouse, not with a fox. I will not eat them here or there. I do not like them anywhere.
You do not like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam, I am. Would you with a goat? I would not, could not with a goat.
Would you, could you on a boat? I could not, would not on a boat. I will not with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them on a train. Not in the dark, not in a tree, not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere.
I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
You do not like them, so you say, try them, and you may. Try them, and you may, I say.
Sam, if you will let me be, I will try them, you will see.
Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do, I like them, Sam I am. And I would eat them in a boat, and I would eat them with a goat.
And I will eat them in the rain, and in the dark, and on a train, and in a car, and in a tree. They are so good, you see.
So I will eat them in a box, and I will eat them with a fox. And I will eat them in a house, and I will eat them with a mouse. And I will eat them here and there, so I will eat them anywhere.
I do so like green eggs and ham.
Thank you, Sam I am.
As fewer and fewer families continue the Iowa tradition of farming, there's an increasing disconnect between what we eat at the dinner table and the work that went into producing our food. Many of the efforts at the Iowa State Fair are aimed at reestablishing that connection. The Way We Live Award is being presented to six families from around Iowa for their dedication to animal agriculture and love for the occupation of farming.
Today we are honoring the Olson family from Vinton, Iowa.
The Olsons have a diversified farm. They raise grain, silage, and hay, and finish both cattle and hogs. John says it's a busy life, but a good one.
We have livestock, so every day involves chores and care of the livestock. And then we have crop grounds, so that takes priority in those spring and fall seasons. And I guess the way we live is we like to be able to get back to the community as in the cattlemen's or as a 4-H leader. And we try to install that in our kids, too, that I guess that's how we'd kind of like to give back what the farmers gave us. So
John is the third generation on the family farm, but not the last. Son Ben and new wife Lindsay recently joined the operation. John says all three of his children have expressed an interest in farming and have pursued degrees in agriculture. But the interest started at an early age.
When I think Ben was probably 3 or 4 years old, he would ride with his grandpa in the tractor when we'd haul manure and get bales, and he just kind of got an early love of it, and our kids have all been involved in 4-H and FFA, and we've shown calves, and so I don't know if it's anything Ellen and I did. I think it was just the fact of growing up on the farm and being around it, and they've just kind of come to it naturally, and we're really fortunate that they have.
Wife Ellen says it's gratifying.
When your children see the occupation that you have chosen and they want to do that because they see more the positive aspects of it than the negative aspects of it. And so it's very rewarding that the kids have all chosen to stay in agriculture.
The Olsons received their award in the Paul R. Knapp Animal Learning Center, where fairgoers can see calves, lambs, and piglets being born, and see displays explaining how the livestock are cared for on Iowa farms. John says he's impressed with the building and its purpose.
No, I think, you know, as generations we get farther and farther away from the farm, I think it's harder for kids to realize that it's an important part of life. And, you know, as we get to see the birthing and what these animals' purpose is in life, that, you know, it's not just a cartoon character, that they have a purpose in life, and this is what it is, and that they're cared for. And I think the people that did this did a fabulous job, and it's so modern and up-to-date, and I like it because it really typifies what modern agriculture is. It isn't grandma and grandpa's farm, it's modern agriculture, and it's done very nicely.
Son Ben says he realizes how fortunate he is to be able to come back to the farm. It's becoming increasingly difficult for new farmers to break into the business, but Ben says he's proud to carry on the family tradition.
The joy of seeing them when they're done, they go off market and know that you help feed hundreds upon thousands of people every day, and just to go to the marketplace and you see your product there, and it's just a great joy.
A friend nominated the Olson family for the Way We Live Award. They were chosen from among 67 entries.
From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Talk of Iowa. I'm John Pemble with Catherine Perkins, and we're at the Iowa State Fair. When a few hundred caged chickens are in the Pigeon Poultry Rabbit Building, they make it one of the louder places at the fair. Their soft feather coats, bright red wattles, and shiny legs are groomed for competition. Alnice Nichols is superintendent for the poultry division at the fair, and she says showing chickens for competition is as common as showing cattle. The chickens are smaller, easier to move, and tend to have a higher return of investment.
These aren't your just run-of-the-mill yard birds. These birds, my birds never see the light of day because they're white, and the sun will bleach them out to yellow. And that very few of these birds, now the old English, the hard-feathered birds, need about an hour or two of sunlight. Some people put them artificial lighting, like those sun lamps and that. It all depends on the situation, but some of these birds people have paid as high as $500 for. There is money to be made. At the National, the champion bird takes home $1,000. So,
Are you from a farm?
Yeah, I have a farm. I show horses and dogs and goats and chickens. And
So on your farm, is it still a family farm? Do you still have?
No, I'm single. So it's kind of a, everybody, like the city park brings ducks out. I have a pond, and when they want to get rid of them in the winter, they bring them out. It's kind of a catch-all, but I do raise purebred animals too, registered quarter horses, and then I show my chickens that I sell nationwide.
So you really have this country life where you breed some animals and competitively show them off and kind of have this very, very nice place to live, it sounds like.
Oh, I love it. I wouldn't trade it. And since I've retired, it's really been great because now I have more time to enjoy it. And I find, like in poultry, a lot of the people here, they're either your 4-H kids and that are just beginning, or they are... We have a lot of retired school teachers in or even school teachers that do this in the summer and follow the fair circuit and show their animals. Plus, this nowadays, with the economy being what it is, one is able to take an animal like this versus a cow. The feed compared and the care is much less money, and that's where it's really beneficial to 4-H kids in that.
Alnice Nichols, superintendent for the poultry division at the state fair. This is her fifth year as the poultry superintendent. Through the years, she can be seen throughout the state judging chickens at county fairs, and when Nichols isn't running a poultry division, she enters her own chickens for competition. Most of these chickens are not slaughtered after competition. In fact, owners fawn over these birds and regularly clip their nails, the tip of their beak, and give them a bath. Shannon Phillips has been raising competitive chickens since she was 11 years old. She's now 17, and this year is the Iowa State Fair Poultry Queen. Phillips says raising chickens is her love and that she loves these birds to death. In the poultry building, Phillips demonstrates how to clean a chicken, and that's clean as in bathe a chicken.
The first thing we're going to do is use this blue shampoo, and she's going to scrub it in real good.
I am about to give a chicken a bath. There are three transparent plastic tubs of water for the bathing. I've never done this before, and this is very obvious to everybody in the poultry building, so I make sure Shannon Phillips is right by me every step of the way as I bathe a chicken for the first time ever.
Okay, this is how you hold the bird. See how my hands are?
Like so?
Yep, like that. And just stick your other two fingers on the outside. She's going to struggle. Just keep going.
Okay, so like here?
Just like that.
Okay.
And squeeze real tight on her legs. It won't hurt her. All right, now just take them over to this one.
Okay, make sure the head's not down, right?
Yeah, don't drown her. That's all I ask. Kind of splash her. Splash. She's going to splash. That's how you get wet.
Okay.
Just kind of splash around. I got other feathers in there. All right, now you can bring her up.
Okay, so...
Just like you have her.
Okay.
Tip her. Yep, tip her.
Now my hands are about to lose it here.
Just hold her. Don't just hold around the neck. Yeah.
Like that way.
Yes.
Oh.
Perfect.
Oh, that is easier.
Now we're gonna put the soap on her. It's blue, so you're gonna have to take one hand off of her.
Okay.
Just hold her with one hand. Okay. Now rub that all in, all over.
Okay. So I really. Oh God, this is a dirty bird.
Yeah. Take your nails if you have them, and just kind of scrub it around. It helps get rid of the dirt. And it also helps get rid of some of the yellowness. It's just like a dog, actually, when you're giving a dog a bath. You just got to scrub, pet, scrub.
Hey, buddy.
Now, when you got that all scrubbed in there, you want to put it back in the...
Now, make sure that I'm getting everything right. I mean, I don't want to...
Yeah, you're doing just fine. Don't worry about it. See? Now, you want to stick it right in here. Back right in the first fish everywhere. Get all that stuff off. As much as you can get it. All right, now you can take her out. He's enjoying this so much.
Yes, he is.
This is really, there's no problem. This is a very, very mellow bird.
You say that, you might jinx it. Stick her in this vinegar water and wash all the fish, get all the soap as you can. What we do is we take her one hand, you hold her head just like this, and just take her and swish her. Just like that. There you go. That helps get some of the soap off under the wings and everything like that. All right, now you can bring her over here. This is blue ink. We actually dyed this water. Water, so we dyed it.
Okay.
So we want to stick her in here. This blue water helps make the birds whiter.
Oh.
So you want to just kind of take her like I showed you, just swish her around, hold her head up so you don't look. There you go. Swish her around and try to get some of the chest. So kind of twist her around. And okay, now we're going to tell. And we're going to pull her out. Get some of that water off. Now we'll take this towel.
I don't know.
On this one hand.
Uh-huh.
Throw it over. Make sure her head's still out. Take one side, wrap it around your hand and her, and slowly take your hand out and then throw the other side, wrap it around her. Again. Just like that. There you go. You washed the bird. Now he's got a baby.
Look at him. He's asleep.
He's sleeping.
He's just... Do they fall asleep often?
Oh, yeah. There's multiple ways. If they're tired of waiting for you to get done, they fall right asleep in your lap. And towels... When you're holding them like babies, they fall right asleep. Like nothing ever happened.
Bathing a chicken at the Iowa State Fair's Poultry Building with Poultry Fair Queen Shannon Phillips. Not all of these chicken bathing demonstrations go as smoothly. I happen to have a very calm and mellow chicken, but I have seen bathing demonstrations where the chicken was a bit more wild. They don't always fall asleep in your arm. So I guess I just got lucky this year. Catherine Perkins and I have been walking all over the fairgrounds, and we're ready to spend another hour with you Thursday at noon here on Iowa Public Radio. We'll have stories about the Governor's Life-Saving Awards, Vegetarian and Vegan Food Awards, the Grocery Begging Contest, the ongoing State Fair sew-in, and Iowa country musician Jason Brown. Our next State Fair show is coming up Thursday at noon during the exchange, and we hope to see you then. Today's Talk of Iowa was produced by Catherine Perkins and me, John Pimple. We had a segment produced by Iowa Public Radio intern Roland Maldonado. Our talk shows are produced by Jeff Schmidt, Dennis Reese, and Alex Hoyer. We'd like to hear from you sometime. Shoot us an email. Tell us what you think about today's program, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can download episodes of Talk of Iowa from our website, iowapublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you Thursday at noon for another full hour of the Iowa State Fair here on Iowa Public Radio.